I'll please rise. Our guests from the Fernando Fire Department will lead us in the pledge to our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You may be seated. Our clerk is getting more additional training. He's at school or is that vacation?
Learning how to change diapers or what?
So our assistant clerk, Marcy Kuhl, will take the roll call.
Councilmember Watson?
Present.
Councilmember Hansen?
Here.
Councilmember Olson?
Here.
Councilmember Ingram?
Here.
Councilmember Mutchler?
Here.
Councilmember Zimmerman? And Councilmember Goodrich?
Here.
Councilmember Zimmerman has asked to be excused. I entertain a motion to accept that.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded by Councilperson Olson, seconded by Councilperson Hansen. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries 6-0. Thank you, Council. Okay, we were slated on the agenda to introduce a very tall new police officer. I see nothing but less than tall people. He's on a call. We could.
I think he's avoiding
we'll
us.
Do that.
He's trying to hide out.
Then the next time would be the third chance. Has he ever played baseball? Okay, next up is the public comment period. This is the period where the members of the audience can speak. That's anything not on tonight's agenda. It's on tonight's agenda, we'll ask to talk about later. But anything that's not on tonight's agenda. So would anyone like to come forward? Welcome, sir.
Jim Fox, resident of 5141 LaBounty Road, coming in to discuss the impending jail location or potential location of the jail on LaBounty Road. When I was growing up, my dad told me a story about a preacher that went out hunting on a Sunday, and he met a bear and ended up losing his rifle. It's up in a tree and out on a branch. And feeling guilty about being out on a Sunday, he said to God, whatever you do, Lord, if you're going to help anybody, please don't help that bear. And my perspective here is I'm getting the impression that the city is looking at downgrading requirements for allowing the county jail to be able to go into the location that they're considering there on LaBounty Road, shortening the setbacks, allowing closer access to the roads and so forth than what the current city codes are requiring. And this is my concern as a resident there and representing the concerns of many of the other residents there. I know you can't stop them from purchasing the land. There's plenty of legal requirements there, but you certainly can maintain the present and current restrictions and protect us as a neighborhood. And that's primarily what I wanted to say tonight, so thanks.
Thank you. We had a second one.
Mayor? Can staff maybe address that if it's possible?
Because I didn't think that was
that's
the case.
A pretty detailed answer, and I think at a later date we will
okay,
address
like
that in a lot more detail.
Thank you.
Okay.
Welcome.
Okay, greetings, city staff and council and the mayor. My name is Barbara Ingram, 2674. 26.
We know where you live.
674 Argyle. Okay, if I can get better from there. I want to keep you informed tonight about the activities and the goals of the Ferndale Art Commission, which I'm a member of. As you know, we've done hands-on art, which is like chalk paintings, stuff like that, on the sidewalks and art in the park. We feature local artists and we'll continue doing that in the future. And also we have a poster contest and other things coming up. But the thing I want to talk about tonight is that we are now in pursuit of planning on placing public art in the city's parks and in public places. We feel that the presence of art is a way to bring the community even closer together. When walking, one will find more than just a reason to walk. They will experience a relationship to one another and a feeling through art. This is my love. This is coming from my heart because as an artist myself, I do watercolors, but it doesn't matter what media an artist uses. It still comes from his heart. And when I am doing a painting, the stress of everyday life, it kind of goes away, and I feel peace and quiet and serenity that takes its place. So I feel that if someone's walking through a park or a public place and sees a piece of artwork, and the mind of the viewer will perhaps, hopefully, kind of relate in the way that the artist was thinking when he made the art that was what was in his mind. I'm not asking for monies or anything like tonight. This is not the whole. This is not my intent, because we are going to be applying for grants to make all this possible. But we do. We welcome you to work with us as a team and encourage any ideas from you for public art throughout the city. The flowers will die. The leaves will fall. But the art will always be there, blending in with the seasons. So that's what I am asking. So thank you for your ear.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, commissioners.
Any more comments from the audience? Welcome.
Council, Mayor, everybody's here. I have a couple, three questions. I've lived in this town for 47 years, and it has not got any better. I would like to know what the speed limit is in town, and if a speed limit sign can be put in front of my house. We got yellow monsters out there that bounce that high on the road from the thing. That's another problem. But when it rattles the dishes in your house, and I had an officer come up the other day, I'm putting a fence in the front. You say no dog effluent. Well, then you put them on a leash. But a clothesline, it's not a leash. A leash should be that long. If you got shorter arms than that, you better not walk your dog. Also, how about my wife walks every day. I thought the pedestrians had the right of way when you started to cross the road. She's been darn near hit several times. If we've got a good traffic control out here, fine. And next thing is you put a thing out about the dog effluent. You also put a thing, you're not supposed to kill the weeds. It's your property out there. Take care of it. Bye.
Thank you. Anyone else in the audience like to come forward? Okay, I have one that I'm going to read in. A customer emailed in and like to this read for tonight. So this is from Robert French. Sent Monday, April 1st at 3:21 p.m., and then the subject would be jail comments. So, dear Ferndale City Council, please allow me to express the concerns of our LaBounty area neighborhood. Recent notifications sent about discussions on the jail location. The notification was sent to those living within 1,000 feet of the site under consideration. We do not feel that was adequate, as will have a tremendous impact on people living in a far greater circle. Please consider a minimum of 5,000 feet. We're also concerned about the proposal to change zoning parameters in the area. There are setback limits in place to attempt to mitigate the impact of such a facility. Proposals to reduce those setbacks are not a welcome idea. So we'll enter this in the record, and I'll just pass this to our planning director to add to further comments. Okay, so one more chance for anyone in the audience to speak with anything that's not on tonight's agenda. Seeing none, we'll move on with the agenda.
Gary?
Yes?
I just saw a patrol car pull in.
Oh.
Was there a really big guy in there?
I don't know. It was kind of tipped over to one side.
Was there a tall, older gentleman and a tall, younger gentleman?
I didn't see either one of them.
We'll see if he fits in the door. We'll give him a couple seconds then. Well, we can do, I would accept the motion to
so moved.
Approve the consent. Okay. Moved and seconded on the consent agenda. Okay, moved by Councilperson Ingram, seconded by Councilperson Olson. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed? Motion carries 6-0. Okay, we went through that one. Obviously, he's so big, he walks slowly from the car.
Go ahead and do your proclamation.
Yeah, you can read that.
Oh, that's okay, this is a long one.
Okay,
so I have two mayor proclamations and a poem to read. So, City of Ferndale Mayor Proclamation. Whereas the Academy of American Poets established the month of April as National Poetry Month, and in 1996, whereas National Poetry Month seeks to illuminate the historical contemporary legacy of American poets, to introduce Americans to the extraordinary pleasures of reading, writing, and reciting poetry, to bring poets and poetry to the public in immediate and innovative modalities, to make poetry a valued and integral part of our children's education, and whereas poetry is recognized as an essential element of the arts and the humanities that affects and honors the development of an intellectual thought, cultural diversity, individual and community enrichment, dignity, and pride, and whereas poetry has provided the inspiration for extraordinary American artistic interpretation through the visual and performing arts. Now, therefore, I, Gary S. Jensen, Mayor, City of Ferndale, in Ferndale, Washington, do hereby claim April 1st through April 30th, 2013, as National Poetry Month. I call upon all public officials, educators, librarians, businesses, and citizens of Ferndale, Washington, to honor this month through participation in celebratory programs, events, and activities offered for such purpose within our community, and to acknowledge poetry as an artistic foundation to build upon perpetuity and to sustain the greatness of our nation. That's a heck of a proclamation. Gary Jensen, Mayor. The second one, Mayor Proclamation. Whereas the Academy of American Poets established the month April as National Poetry Month, and in 1996, whereas through the history, poems have been tucked into pockets from commonplace books of the Renaissance to pocket-sized books of World War II, and whereas in partnership with the New York City Department of Cultural Affairs and Education, the Office of the Mayor launched Poem in Your Pocket Day in 2002 as part of the city's National Poetry Month celebration. And whereas in 2008, the Academy of American Poets took the initiative, national encouraging nationwide participation of individuals by open reading from poems in their pockets. Now, therefore, I, Gary S. Jensen, Mayor, City of Ferndale, Washington, do hereby proclaim April 18th, 2013 as Poem in Your Pocket Day. So on that day, you all should have a poem in your pocket. I'm going to check. I call upon all public officials, educators, librarians, and businesses, as citizens of Ferndale, Washington, to participate in Poem in Your Pocket Day as an innovative and joyful celebration of the unparalleled wealth of poetic language written, read, and shared. My poem. Billy Collins, a complete resource of Billy Collins' poems, books, and recordings. The Lanyard by Billy Collins. The other day, I was ricocheting out slowly off the blue walls of this room, moving as if underwater from typewriter to piano, from bookshelf to an envelope lying on the floor, when I found myself in the L section of the dictionary, where my eyes fell upon the word lanyard. No cookie nibbled by a French novelist could send one into the past more suddenly, a past where I sat at a workbench at a camp, by a deep Adirondack lake, learning how to braid long, thin plastic strips into a lanyard, a gift from my mother. I've never seen anyone use a lanyard, or wear one, if that's what you do with them. But it did not keep me from crossing strand over strand again and again until I made a boxy red and white lanyard for my mother. She gave me life and milk from her breasts. I gave her a lanyard. She nursed me in many a sick room, lifted spoons of medicine to my lips, laid cold face cloths on my forehead, and led me out into the airy light. She taught me how to walk and swim. I, in turn, presented her with a lanyard. Here are thousands of meals, she said. Here's clothing and a good education. And here's your lanyard, I replied, which I made with a little help from a counselor. Here is a breathing boy and a beating heart, strong legs, bones, and teeth, two clear eyes to read the world, she whispered,
And here I said as a lanyard, I made a camp. And here I wish to say to her now, as a smaller gift, not the worn truth, that I can never repay your mother, the rueful admission that she took, the two torn lanyard from my hand. I was sure as a boy I could be that this is useless, worse a thing I wove. Out of boredom would be enough to make us even. We all should thank our mother.
Good job, Mayor.
You're a poet and you didn't even know it. Hey, that rhymes. I'm a poet and didn't know it.
Get a rhyme every time.
So now it's my great honor is to show you the escalation of our police department. We started with introductions of them being shorter and broader. Then we got larger and broader, and now we're just getting larger. So, with that introduction, we'd like the police chief to come forward and introduce a rather small gentleman. Your reputation preceded you, trust me.
Good evening, Council. And good
evening. We're going
to get ladies and gentlemen, it's one of the real pleasures that I have to introduce new officers. And this one typifies our quest for the best. On March 7th, last month, we hired this new officer. The last two officers, like him, came already batteries included. They were experienced police officers, Scott Langton Blaine, Carl Kennerly, Roseburg, Oregon. Michael Healy, he comes as a seasoned officer from the San Diego Police Department, where his parents served collectively, honorably, for a period of 70 years in the San Diego Police Department. The name of Healy is known well throughout San Diego in the police department, and this young man is no exception. He continues this long and honorable tradition. He's a Marine with service in Iraq and Kuwait, a husband to Audra, and a father of a one-year-old daughter, Madeline. They are currently expecting a new addition. Is that correct? Is it a boy?
Currently, it is a boy.
It's a boy. Whatcom County is the home to your wife's parents, and we are delighted that she decided, and you did, that this was the best place to raise your family. We're fortunate to have you as an officer of this department and your family as part of this community. We are awed by this long and honorable tradition that you have served. I am equally awed by what is a new and emerging hiring profile in which we hire only people over 6'6" that are bald. I'm trying that myself, so I'm working where Mike Healy has already arrived. This is such an honor for me to be part of a department that attracts people of your caliber. I'm honored by our association. Thank you very much.
Yeah,
sure. Whatever. Yeah.
Do you have a poem? No, but I also gave my mother multiple lanyards. So there you go.
Thanks for having me. Thank you for hiring me. Hopefully I don't disappoint. I've met some of you. Hopefully others of you I haven't met yet.
I hope not.
But yeah, thank you. It's been a pleasure so far, and it's been great. I brought my weather with me, so you can thank me for that. But yeah, looking forward to hopefully giving some years of service and working well for the community.
Thank you.
Welcome.
You.
Welcome.
Council, some of you have been on council a ways back, and I remember when I was a city council person, and it was giantly disappointing that during that period that we would on a regular basis lose great officers, normally to the Washington County Sheriff's Department, and I told Sheriff Elfo that, you know, he still has not balanced us out. But we lost a lot of great officers. We would train them, we would get them certified, and they would go to other departments. And I understood that. I understood that we had
a facility that was not very good, and our pay was one of the lowest in the county. And so thanks to you people sitting there in those chairs, this is an example of what is happening to us now, is that in the past, I would have never imagined that we would pull an officer of this caliber out of San Diego. I would never think that we would pull an officer out of Roseburg, Oregon. We just didn't do that before. We had to start and hire them new with no experience, train them, get them certified, and then they moved on to someone else to better pastures. And so, you know, situations like this, you can be proud of this young man, but you can be proud of what you did for this city, because that represents a transfer. The transfer cost is over $70,000 for us to train an officer. So he's sitting there. Obviously, I guess we have to pay extra for more uniform, but that's a $70,000 savings standing before you, and a quality officer. So, sometimes I know the public beats you up, and I know they don't agree with you, but there are decisions you've made that are really important to citizens that save them money, and you should be recognized for it. So I want to thank you, because those quality officers transfer from other departments, I go, way to go, City Council. So way to go. So from the mayor, hey, thank you. You should be proud of yourself.
And we owe some of that to our chief, too, for what he's done to the department changing.
Yeah, so that's great. I mean, to get quality transfers, it's just, boy, we're still not even with Chief Elfo, but that's okay. Okay, so next up is the presentation for the Veterans Memorial Update. I know we have a council member on that committee. I know we have a finance director, but we have an esteemed guest from the Ferndale Fire Department.
All right. Let me hand this to you guys real quick so you can see what I'm looking at when I'm doing it. Sorry, I didn't have a colored printer. I can't afford one. Big Paul hasn't given me the money yet.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for having me. My name is Mark Cool. For those of you who don't know me, I'm the president of the Ferndale Veterans Memorial. We've been constructing a Veterans Memorial up off of Thornton Road. And we've been working on this since 2008. And thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council, for seeing me this evening. I appreciate that. Since I got the floor real quick, I'd really like to reflect on what you said about their officers, because the caliber is way off from when I started the fire department 20 years ago, and it's amazing, these men. However, I would like to protest the newly enforced height requirement, because it's making us firefighters look really small out on calls, and people think we're toy firefighters. So
duly noted. We
feel
terrible.
Can you put that in the minutes?
Yeah.
My lovely bride, would you do that for me?
We feel terrible.
Okay, good. So with that being said, on a serious note, Veterans Memorial, like I said, we've been working on this since 2008. We've had many, many, many huge strides in the recent past here. We've talked to the mayor and talked to some of the council people about where to construct a mini memorial to get advertisement for our big memorial that's going to go up off the 6.1 acres up off of Thornton Road, the old Bender property. And our first thought was to help the mayor out and clean up the area over there where the old chamber building was, to make that a little bit nicer and construct over there. Because of potential construction, because of the location and the tightness over there, it's not working out as well. So what I put in front of you this evening, which I hope some of you know about, is the construction of this, not even the construction, it's all rocks. It's just a rock and a plate with some people and some flagpoles. And what it represents is a miniature version of what we're going to do, which is a 18-foot tall by 36-foot wide solid granite American flag. And it's absolutely stunning. We have a small piece already made. It's 18 inches by 3 feet, and I've had that inset. Our board has had that inset into a 6,000-pound rock that we would love to set down in Griffintown Park here off of 2nd Avenue. That location is perfect because it's already landscaped. It already looks beautiful down there. There's water fountains. There's paths. There's parking. Everything is already there that we would really need to kind of put in there to make this mini memorial look beautiful, more beautiful than that park already does. So With that being said, I would love to entertain and ask for your permission to move forward with that 6,000-pound rock that goes in the middle. That's the big dot right in the middle there. And it would be facing to the south with the flag on the south, so it always has that south sun on the flag. That line that you see that's directly south of that is the Veterans Memorial logo, and what that is it's a woman holding a child's hand, the child is saluting the American flag, and a man, the dad, standing on the other side looking at the flag. And that is the Inferno Veterans Memorial's logo. And so that would be made out of plate steel. It's currently being built, and that would stand looking at the flag. The rest of what you see is just to the left of those two items is an American flag pole that would be 30 feet tall with an American flag. And the five dots that you see around next to the path are the service flags. So the Marine Corps, Air Force, Navy, Army, and Coast Guard.
Coast Guard.
Coast Guard
always
gets
free.
I know.
Right, Mark?
He's a Marine.
He's sleeping. Oh, you were Navy. That's right. We had a Coast Guard guy somewhere in the board. So, the only thing we would have to do that would be obtrusive to what the park's there is there's a small pine tree that was there, and we would carefully relocate that anywhere the council would like us or the Parks Department would like us to relocate that. So, Councilmember Hanson.
Have you run this by the Parks Board?
One of our board members is on the Parks Board, and apparently it's been talked about at length, and they were waiting for a Parks meeting. It's been verbally, if I understand, it's already been verbally approved. It's just a matter of
not,
going
not by the Parks Board, unless it happened over the last, well, it hasn't over the last.
It has not been to an agenda, no. It hasn't been on their.
I would suggest it's out of the courtesy to the Parks Board. I don't know if you know, but they're working on Griffin Down Park as a historical trail.
Mm-hmm.
I've been putting monuments in at every one of the benches. And
yes.
About two-thirds of the way done with that. I would feel very uncomfortable with them not giving us the blessing.
And thank you for bringing that up. This coming here tonight is just trying to get it on the agenda, to get it on your board so that it goes through the parks. I would never say jump the parks. It's got to go through both you guys. If we're both not agreeing with it, then we're not going to move forward with that.
Now, five, is there enough light to hit our, because flags should be illuminated. Is there enough light there we're okay, or do we have to get electricity?
There is. The beautiful thing about that is there is a light standard right behind. There's a light standard right here.
Oh, okay.
And that's where the Christmas lights are. So there's already 110 right there.
So sufficient enough for the flag?
All we'd have to do is attach a little 110 light to that and hardwire it in, and that would be for the American flag.
A bracket and a spotlight on the light.
Exactly.
Right. Tying to the flag.
Exactly. And as far as the service
from this plug-in that's already there?
Yes. Sure.
Yes, sir.
And then they unplug it during Christmas?
No. It's a duplex outlet.
Oh, it is? Okay.
And if it wasn't a duplex outlet, just, it should be very easily.
Just checking the details. Yes. Okay. Third Thursday of the month, 6:30 at City Hall.
Is the Parks.
Parks Board.
Yeah, we've been patiently waiting one of their meetings. It's been delayed. So
well, JD is a member of your...
Yes, sir. Yeah, JD's on there, and he's the one that's been talking to some of the Parks Boards. He's been getting...
you need to put
when
a,
I say verbal approval, it's...
Put a fire on
he's been getting...
He doesn't attend very often. So get a fire
I guess now, if so we get Parks Board approval and it comes back to City Council, I mean, are you ready to go forward this? You have the...
The rock is ready to be set in place as we speak. The monument...
The monument is about being powder-coated.
It's being powder-coated? So
this is something that
Stevie built it.
If it passed through, would happen this spring.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. We would like to see it so that we can dedicate it on Memorial Day.
Okay.
Would Public Works do the installation, though? I mean, Public Works would...
not necessarily.
It would probably assist...
Yeah, I think it's supervised.
I wouldn't mind if our clerk would speak for himself. Is can you get us pictures of that apparatus? Because anything in a park has to be pre-approved by our insurance. So, if you get pictures of that,
of
everything.
Of this equipment.
Yeah.
All the insurance person does is look at it and they assess. Okay, that's.
I have pictures on my laptop of the rock. Okay. I don't have pictures of the monument yet.
I'll talk to Steve and get those.
So get that to Sam.
And, yeah.
And as far as installing it, someone said something about.
I'm sure. I would like Public Works to be involved with
it. I have. Well, they don't need to be. No.
But they could certainly supervise.
They could certainly supervise.
Should it be coordinated? I mean, there is a probably underground
yes.
Irrigation system.
There's irrigation.
Yes.
We just need to make sure if there's anything there that might need to be relocated.
Like a 600-pound rock.
Installation just be coordinated with Public Works.
Absolutely. And we noticed that there are four or five sprinkler boxes right there. Mm-hmm. And when we walked out there with a couple of our board members, park board member Mr. Ingram and myself and Chief Knapp, we kind of located this in the part of the park where we thought would be less obtrusive to all of the utilities, because there are utility boxes there, but it should be out of the way, and we would definitely pass that by. So this is definitely tentative based on those items in the Parks Board's approval, and, of course, Public Works. If Public Works is okay with that, that would be fantastic.
The one thing that the board thought, if I can interject here a little bit, the one thing the board thought was really unique about this particular site was this an immediate draw to Griffintown. It would be a stunning entrance into Griffintown Park because you've got the parking lot right there. People can come by and go, wow, what's that? Pull in and park and go look at it. And once they're out of their car, they might go, wonder what else is here, and start walking along and looking at those gorgeous monuments. If you haven't seen those, you're missing something because that's a beautiful walk. And I just think it would really enhance the entire park.
Okay. Any other questions for Mr. Poole?
If there's a question.
All right. You got Mayor it? Asked about the – I was concerned about the lighting of the flag.
Okay.
Okay. Good. So Parks Board, and then we'll march you down the path.
Fantastic.
Good.
Thank
just,
you.
Just put your
have
house.
A good evening.
Thank you. Thank you for coming. Okay. Next up is the public hearing on the Parks Master Plan revisions. This is a public hearing? It's a
public hearing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have to read that whole thing.
It's to find the whole thing. So last year, actually a year from tomorrow, the City Council, Planning Commission, and Parks Board met over at the Lummi Gateway Center and talked about our existing parks plan and where to go to update the parks plan. And the Council and Planning Commission gave a number of directives to us. Think creatively about the trail system, emphasize the trail system, incorporate sidewalks and existing parks and trails into the system as a kind of post-recession realization that money doesn't grow on trees. Consider opportunities for destination and tourist attractions that make the Ferndale Park system unique. Consider the ongoing maintenance costs. Expand park awareness with the community. Limit park and trail projects to doable projects but still provide flexibility for enterprise ideas where you can take advantage of at the active community. And don't simply abandon the existing planning efforts. So the existing plan, like the plans that preceded it, basically take a philosophy that the more park and trail space that the city has, the better an overall park system. And so it adopts a level of service that says that there shall be a certain number of parks or miles of trails per 1,000 people. So what that does is for every 1,000 people that come in, we expect that we'll add another 3 acres of parks or 4 acres. But it's not specific as to where those parks should be. Ironically, though, it's been very successful, where if you look at the parks that we have now compared to the amount of parks that we had back when the first parks plan was established about 30 years ago, we have three or four times the overall acreage of parks. So we've more than kept up with the population increase. But we still hear the same exact complaints from people that we heard back in 1980, that there are no parks in Ferndale, that people don't know where they are, that they're not accessible to anyone but within that specific neighborhood. So the Parks Board and staff has worked over the last 12 or 13 months, meeting every single month to take this plan through the process. And what we've arrived at is rather than a level of service measurement on overall parkland, to describe it based on connectivity. Because what that can do is promote the use of trails more. More and more people are using trails rather than just parks. To use the trails as a connection point between our existing parks, between those parks and school district properties that are also available to the public, and then to be able to identify and really target where there are neighborhoods that are not served, that are not connected to parks. And connected, we mean a 10-minute walk. 10-minute walk is a walk that most people are willing to undertake. It's about a quarter mile without really thinking about it. It's a nice day. Let's go for a walk. Who cares where we go, but we'll end up where we end up. Rather than a half-hour walk where you really need to plan for it, and maybe then you actually get into your car and you drive off to some of the more tourist trails or tourist parks around Whatcom County. So if we take that measurement, which we proposed, and attach a level of service saying that 65% of Ferndale citizens will be within that 10-minute walk, we find that we're right at that point right now. 65% of our residents can get out of their house and walk to a park within 10 minutes. As we continue to grow, we're going to be able to add on to that. We also looked at where our existing parks are and where our existing trails are. And over the last 30 years, I think that the city's acquired park and trail land when it was available without necessarily any look to how it fits into a coordinated system. We have a lot of separate individual parks and trails, but not really a system of parks and trails. And I didn't include it in an attachment because it's kind of hard to read. It's a lot of little mini spaghetti bits all over the city. But we have a lot of park and trail space that we don't even know about, that staff didn't even know about. But what that allows us to do is identify smallish projects like the Primrose Trail project that we're doing on April 20th, constructing 300 feet of trail space that actually brings online approximately, I think it's 500 people that aren't currently served by parks or trails. What it also does is it allows us in this post-recession economy to eliminate a lot of the projects that are in the current plan. The current plan calls for, by 2025, approximately $27 million of capital projects, new park projects, new parks, new trails. In the proposed plan, we bring that down. We take it out to 2033, but we bring that $27 million down to $10 million. And we might be able to bring it still lower through the use of coordinated volunteer projects, again, such as Primrose, land dedications where we can go to a property owner and say, we need your property. It's not that we need land. We need your property or a part of your property. And so far we've had people that have really responded well to that. What the proposed plan also does is draw out the maintenance costs. Right now, we spend approximately $375,000 a year for park and trail maintenance. We have two full-time parks workers, plus we have seasonal help, plus our crew helps out when they need to on parks and trails. So for $375,000, one of the questions that you don't need to answer today but you should think about is, are you getting what you expect? Because we have people who are working extremely hard to maintain the parks and trails. And if, as we've heard at Parks Board, there's a feeling that maybe the maintenance that should be taken care of is not to the extent that you like, or maybe the parks that are less visible are not being maintained as well, then the council should consider increasing the maintenance funding for those parks and trails. The existing plan doesn't talk about maintenance at all, and our calculations are that the maintenance runs almost dollar to dollar with the capital projects, that over the life of this, if we continue to expand parks and trails, especially trails which have a lower maintenance cost, you're still looking at about $9 million over the course of the project for those salaries, and you can do the math pretty easily. $375,000 times 20 gets you about 7.4, and we're not going to be able to maintain to the same level that we do even now if we add more parks and trails. So that math is pretty clear. We also propose in this a line item for those situations where we have more than just maintenance costs, where we have a failing roof, let's say, where it's not just about reshingling it, but actually replacing a roof. The council possibly considering in your next budget cycle a line item for additional non-growth related replacement. That way the public works crew could identify, here are our projects and we're going to use that money for those on an annual basis. What we are then able to do if this is proposed or if this is adopted is next time, April 15th, coming back with a impact fee modification. Whereas you may recall, prior to 2011, we had a park impact fee of roughly $2,000 per single family residence. Because we had to reduce our urban growth area, we had to cut that almost in half. Knowing that we were going to go back through this process and consider increasing it again, what this would do if adopted as proposed on the 15th for the fees is increase the impact fees but still keep them about 20 to 25% less than that historic level. So instead of $2,000, it would be something like $1,300 or $1,400, and it's in this plan. But we'll bring that back on the 15th. So overall, I feel that the Parks Board has done a fantastic job of addressing the concerns that Planning Commission and Council had, really creating something out of this post-recession where this is a doable plan. It's a plan that makes sense to someone without necessarily needing to read the whole thing, where loop trail systems connecting the parks makes sense. And the one thing that I would leave you with before I attempt to answer any of your questions is both the Parks Board and the Planning Commission wanted to communicate to you that they felt that while we got unanimous support for this plan, that seeing every element of this plan come into fruition would depend on having a permanent parks department. And while we as staff feel that we can get a lot of it done, we certainly know that with community development doing what we do and with public works doing what they do, we have other priorities, other things in our job title. So we all love parks. We all have worked very hard at parks, but ultimately having a permanent parks department when the finances are ready would be a good thing. One final last thing that I would mention. There are a couple of parks projects that have been floating around in the ether that have been proposed by citizen groups. The Veterans Memorial is an excellent example of a parks project that does not seek city funding, that does not seek anything but city support. But there are other projects that have been proposed that the council has periodically either said, yes, we're interested, or no, we are no longer interested. We sought to include those in here and say more definitively, no, this is not part of the city's long-term vision, or yes, this is part of the vision. So with the adoption of this, you would also close the door on some of those projects and open the door on some others. So, happy to answer any questions.
Questions for staff. Councilperson Watson was first, then Councilperson Goodrich.
I was just wondering, for funding purposes, has the Parks Board or the Planning Commission ever talked about a park and recreation district, forming a park and recreation district? Is that something that would be interesting?
Well, they have talked a little bit. They've talked more about a department to oversee.
But a district such as Greenways. Because we never seem to have a funding source for maintenance or anything else. But
they have talked very much about that, similar to the Greenways, where if in Bellingham. As you know, impact fees are supposed to go to growth-related projects, basically expanding the overall capacity, not necessarily adding something like an additional tree or a new amenity into an existing park. Those would typically come from the general fund. But if the general fund doesn't have the money, those projects don't come in unless they're donated. What the city of Bellingham has done is go out to their citizens and ask them to tax themselves for wish list, not need, but wish list items. We want more parks, even if they're not growth related. We want this here or there. And that, I think, has been one of the frustrations of the Parks Board, where they feel that there are some programs, recreation programs, amenities that are just a fantastic idea, and no one disagrees with them, and they say, well, let's get this funded. And the answer is, well, there's no money for that. So that might be something that possibly after the library votes that the council consider giving the option to our citizens.
Okay. Councilperson Goodrich, and then Councilperson Metzler.
When you were talking about funds and stuff and costs of the parks and the 300 and some thousand, does that also include maintenance and repair of jungle gyms and swings and stuff like that that we've heard in the past where some of our parks were kind of closed down because they weren't safe to play on?
It pays for, and Janice can correct me if I'm wrong, it pays for staff time, vehicles, and some equipment, but it doesn't necessarily pay for things like a new jungle gym or new materials for a new roof. And I think that that's where there has been a gap, where Public Works has from time to time been able to pull funding out of other things to get things done. But it is pulling it out of something else. It's not a dedicated source of funding for those sort of things. There are some things like jungle gyms where insurance might be able to cover it, but if we're talking about a 20-year-old jungle gym, that's probably not something that insurance would cover it. They only have a certain lifespan.
So do we have in the plan, I didn't get through the whole thing, but a deal where we're going to be able to maintain all these parks and equipment and things that are in them, or is that addressed?
That is going to be something that we wanted to put in your head for the next budget cycle, to start looking at the parks during the summer and see whether or not you feel that it is meeting your expectations, with the understanding that the folks who are maintaining it are working long hours to do so. So if you go to those parks and feel, gosh, you know, we want something different or more, it really comes down to you probably need to fund it more. That's one thing. The other thing is also in the budget, on page 88 of your complete packet, we have a replacement maintenance of $15,000 a year that we would propose adding to the 2014 budget and then following after, where it would be that line item, $15,000, that Janice and her team can utilize that the same way as we use consultants or something like that to say, we know that the bridge at Cedar Creek Park needs to be redone, and we're going to use $8,000 of that $15,000 this year to fund that. So we're not asking for you to decide those budget items, but to put it in your head that those are going to be coming to you.
Councilperson Metzler?
First, Director Brennan, I think I've got to hear you out four times give that talk, so if you need a break, I could probably do it, having attended all the Planning Commission. I wanted to ask you about PUDs and parks. And Pacific Highlands, you have two parks, or is it one big park? What would you?
Two.
So two parks. First question I have, are there other PUDs of that size that have a park? Is that kind of a unique situation at this point?
That's unique insofar as the scope of it. Many PUDs have,
do you see that as a, is that kind of a future direction of the city to have parks being built by the PUDs? Is that, do we expect more of that? Or
you know, actually, I would say we would probably expect less of that, where we wouldn't prevent a developer from seeking to create that and then maintain it, but that we realize that when a new development comes in, Pacific Highlands is a huge development in, as far as relatively speaking, in Ferndale. But for the smaller ones, say 20 lots, you tend to get a somewhat consistent demographic that goes into them, where, for instance, there's a life cycle. A development is created, and let's say it caters to first-time homebuyers. Those folks typically have their kids there. Their kids play in the jungle gym, and then two-thirds or half of the people stay there, and that's where they retire. So you have a park there, a jungle gym, that is used intensely for 10 years and then very little for the next 50 years potentially. By putting our park funds in the public parks, the ones that we're describing, those are the parks that can be maintained for all of the community for all time, rather than have, and you can see when you go through, obviously this park doesn't get a lot of use because the demographics have changed. It was catering towards this or that. It doesn't necessarily evolve because a homeowners association isn't necessarily looking for that. Some of them are. I mean, Pacific Highlands is a good example of one that I think will continue to evolve over time. But if you have a less active homeowners association, you're going to start to see the basketball backboard without the hoop, or the swing that's broken, or the slide that's okay. cracked.
I got it. So popping in my head, I'm thinking of some of the PUDs that have a toy. I don't know if you call it a park. The Larson's, Church Road Estates across from Mr. Eskridge's, there's a toy there. The self-help development on Captain's Way has a toy there. The Trig Road self-help has a thing. Are those considered private parks, public parks, city parks? Are they considered parks?
They're considered private tot lots, where the tot lots, a neighborhood park needs to be a half acre or more.
So the city is not responsible for those. So say the self-help neighborhood up there near where I live, they're responsible to maintain that. They can't call the city, hey, the slide's falling apart or whatever it is. They correct. Just can't do that. And so then do we try to connect with that? That's what I'm getting to with all this. Are we trying to connect with those? Because the public technically isn't allowed to use those, are they?
Yeah, well, and that's a difficult thing, where we do want to have the trails connect. But we were just talking to the developers of Larson's Church Hill Estates, for instance, where there's been some vandalism on their private tot lot, and they were wondering, well, can we prevent the public from having access to it? Technically, yes, they could, but we're not going to enforce that. It creates a number of circumstances like that. Another example is Corral Park, that has an extensive trail system right along the Shell Marsh. And while there might be some debate over the language of the easement, it's Corral's some members of Corral Park's position that that is a private trail and that the public shouldn't be there, especially because it is a senior housing. And if you have a combination of
and
bikes.
Is that a debatable question, or is that a settled question, just as a.
It is something that if the city wanted to get into a long debate, we probably could. For the purposes of moving forward, we chose not to get into
it. Okay, well, this is tangential to what we're doing tonight, but I'm just maybe someday we need to look at that. It seems like we have these private parks, and people use them, and is that. Ferndale or not.
It's a tough one to answer.
Thank you. It is. Thank you.
Any more questions for staff? This is a public hearing, so no more questions for staff. Okay, do you have anyone on the sign-up list?
No, we do not. Okay.
I can't remember. We decided it has to be read if no one signed up to speak.
If Sam's here, it has to be read. Otherwise.
He'll
know.
And if it ever comes about, I'm going to blame the city manager for not reading us.
Yes. That's lean.
Okay, council action.
I think we're having an illegal meeting, right?
Councilperson Hansen.
I'll move to accept agenda bill 13-04-002, the Parks Master Plan Revision Ordinance.
Second.
Motion and second. Second. Okay, and then I have one more question over here. Councilperson Goodrich.
Earlier you mentioned about the projects that, had debate. Is that starting on page 81 of the packet or page 40 of the plan?
I mean, like the pool and the skate park and those things?
Yeah.
Yes. In the 80s, somewhere in the 80s.
Yes, it is pretty much all through the 80s.
One of the things I didn't see on here is I know there was talk about at Pioneer Park putting in some sort of walkways or something so people that are...
Oh, ADA compliance?
ADA compliance.
Not necessarily ADA compliance, no, it was definitely but ADA to help compliance. With... I know if we go that route, it's going to end up being ADA to all the cabins
The design that Mr. Elliott paid for and brought forward was total ADA compliance up to the cabins, not into the cabins, but up to the cabins.
So I didn't see that listed as a project. I know that's been talked about a lot.
On page 82, Pioneer Park Entry Remodel, you know, there are a lot of different projects discussed at Pioneer Park. And I know that we kind of had an aborted attempt 5-6 years ago, you know, really conceptualizing almost a master plan for Pioneer Park. But there, the Senior Center has an idea. You know, we have the walkways. We have the Star Park. We have a number of other things. And we don't have an especially attractive entry into the park, plus Pioneer Pavilion, you know, is going to be repurposed at some point. So the Pioneer Park entry remodel is really that discussion of what changes do we want this park to be, where it could be kind of a master plan and there could be then discrete other phases that we could do. So that is in here. That's, I guess, the fast way of saying it.
Okay, I just didn't get that from it. I just saw this as the front of Pioneer Park, mm-hmm. but not, like you said, you know, if that said Pioneer Park master plan, you know, type of a thing, then I could see that, because I know there's some questions sometimes, you know, new cabins, well, where are we going to put them? What's, you know, the long-term issues with some of that come up at Heritage Society. I'm sure Old Settlers has some of those same thoughts and things.
If you wished, if council directed, we could change that to Pioneer Park Master Plan and go from there. I don't know if there is any.
Separate division, yeah. You could add that as an amendment.
I'd like to make that as an amendment to the plan that be seriously looked at, because there's some need to really
change
look at
the terminology
plan.
To read Pioneer Park Master Plan
and
a priority schedule.
As opposed to Pioneer Park Entry Remodel, just make it Pioneer Park Master
Plan. Yeah, because we do have that master plan that we spent quite a bit of money on several years ago that went into all those elements. So actually a really smart move.
No, that makes sense. I'll second that.
Okay. So let's vote on the amendment.
One question. I think I know the answer to this, but I want to make sure that it's on the record. That would not preclude then changes to that master plan.
No.
Because it's already been changed substantially.
Yeah, we've changed it since the master plan.
But it would allow anything that's on the master plan to be studied and implemented or changed.
Okay, so let's vote on the amendment. All in favor of the amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 6-0. Okay, on the main motion. Any further discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 6-0. Good job, Council.
Thank you, Council.
Okay, next up is the resolution, City Council support of the library bond vote, Proposition 1. I know we have some members of the audience that would like to speak on that. Who's leading this discussion?
I don't know.
Councilperson Mutchler, do you want to lead off?
Well, if I'm being asked, I would be pleased to lead. I'm pleased that this is coming to the council to express our support. What I'd like to give Mayor's permission is I went digging through the city archives of what this council has done since 2009. Just take a minute. I'm just looking at some past action that leads me to believe that this current council would support such a resolution. It was right before I started serving that Council Member Ingram made a motion. It was seconded by a council member at the time, Downey, to authorize the city to negotiate the purchase of property just west of City Hall, which we purchased, which is property for the library. At the next meeting, or may have been the same meeting, it was Council Member Olson, it was Council Member Ingram, and seconded by Council Member Downey to authorize the design and bid and preparation for a police station. Added to that in the same evening was a motion by Councilmember Olson and seconded by Councilmember Downey to basically approve the renovation of the Boys and Girls Club
and to ask the library to be prepared to move in that within a certain period of time. And then as well, at the end of the year, 2009, it was Councilmember Hansen and seconded by Councilmember Downing and approved by every councilmember that's here that was on the council at that time, that would be three of you, to pledge $1 million, an initial $1 million, plus the cost of moving the library to Pioneer Park back in 2009. Then I jump up to the next council. I got all sorts of notes here. It was Councilmember Olson. This is just, I want to miss something. It was that very interesting period of the end of 2010 when we had opportunity to match $1 million. And this is rather complicated, but at the end of the day, we had three meetings, including a special meeting, that ended up council pledging $250,000 that was matched, and that raised our pledge to $1.25 million. And everybody who was on council, that was on council now, that was on council back then, supported that in one form or another. There were several votes, but everybody here made some kind of support for additional funds. Then we get to the current council, and recently, this is pretty recent news, it was Councilmember Olson that moved and Councilmember Goodrich seconded to approve a property tax bond and to spend city funds, which I checked with Debbie Adelson, was about $30,000, to place this on the ballot. I assume that it would pass for a $550,000 levy. And then finally, at the last council meeting, we all voted 7-0, and that did pass 7-0, by the way, that first motion to put it on the ballot. And then we passed 7-0 to approve a solid waste tax increase and use REIT 1. So I just see a lot of support from council, so I wouldn't be surprised tonight at a 7-0 vote showing our support of this April 23rd election.
I'll be surprised. Not going to control here. All in order. Speak in order, please.
6-0.
It's the new math.
At your council.
Would anyone like to speak by holding their hands up politely?
Councilperson Olson, we welcome your comment.
I'm not sure you will after I make it.
I don't think I know you will.
I'm going to continue my long-held tradition of abstaining from this vote. I don't like resolutions of the council saying they're going to support this or support that, when that's a vote that should be a private matter between whoever makes the vote. I haven't ever done one of these, and I don't intend to tonight, so I'll be abstaining. Sorry, at best you'll have 5-0.
Okay.
We're not surprised, but that's okay. We're watching.
I'm not a huge fan of resolutions myself, only because we voted 7-0 to put it before the voters, so it's obviously important. The only reason I'm going to vote on this one is because I think it really explains better why we're having to do this in April. You know, the fact that we're going to lose up to $1.5 million in grants if we don't start building this thing. So
for the members of the public, would you like to expand on that statement of what is
what we're going to lose?
What are the figures? Yeah, and it's a great presentation by Councilmember Mutchell laying out the funds, but it's part of our education process that we will continue on. But would you like to those numbers?
Because right now we have almost $300,000 left in matching from this $1 million donor, but that's only until June 30th. So the donor's giving us until June 30th to get another $300,000. So that's $300,000 that will disappear at the end of June if we don't get some matching. At the end of August, we lose our $250,000 Norcliffe grant. So just by the end of August, you know, by the end of June, we lose $300,000. By the end of August, we've lost $550,000 altogether. The CERB grant also goes away next year, which is a $500,000 grant from the Community Economic Revitalization Board, a state grant, which was also matched with $500,000 from the donor. That's $1 million that will go away if we don't build by next year. So we're up to $1.55 million that will just disappear if we don't break ground on this thing. And that is the only reason council asks people for the money. Because, I mean, we don't like to ask you for money for your taxes. But we can't risk losing $1.5 million in grants, which is really, it's free money. It's just out there sitting there waiting. And if we don't get the levy, that money will just go to somebody else. So I will be supporting the resolution. I don't like resolutions either, but this one I think is educational, so I will be supporting it.
And I think that was the purpose, is it wasn't just to
to stand up and cheer. It was part of the education
process. No, and they did a good job. Sam did a good job.
Councilperson Ingram?
In reading through the resolution, the only question I have, the very last line, can we as a body recommend a yes vote? I thought we couldn't do that.
Yes, we can.
Oh, okay. I just want to make sure we're legal.
Okay, any more, before we open to the public, any more comments by City Council? Seeing none, I'll go, I don't know if we had an official list, but I'll just go by, we don't know if we did a list. Hands up, I know I had one gentleman first, so Perry, do you want to start out? Welcome, sir.
I did want to start off on kind of a light note, because when you started reading that poem, I thought you had a poem about Lammards, and that was something I know George and I...
That wouldn't be a funny poem.
No, it would not, and I thought that is definitely not worthy of a proclamation. It's kind of an April Fool's Day prank that I find myself up here, but it's not. I never, ever thought that I would be standing in front of you arguing against a library proposition. But there's some things that I wanted to point out that I think merit me being here tonight and talking to you about this. The first thing I wanted to do was start off in the beginning and point out that Ferndale has a great library, and in fact, Councilmember Mutchler described it in his Facebook post just this Saturday, saying, we own a really cool space, 12,000 feet, when you think about it, how much light is in there, those beautiful antique maple floors, and it's great location, central, in one of our premier parks. And my response back was, wow, that sounds like a great place for a library right now. And I wanted to start off that we do actually have a library, okay? There's no real immediate need to go out and build a new library right now and, in fact, ask people for tax money to do it. We have a library. There was a question about whether or not we'd have, you know, civic pride and be able to meet our economic development goals if we didn't commit to this. And the fact of the matter is we do have one. There is one there. And, in fact, if somebody asks something, we say, well, we even have plans for a better one sometime in the future. But there's some red flags that I wanted to point out that I think really merit your attention on this thing. First of all, I'm going to start off with the city's plan for the library. A few weeks ago, I went through and tried to find as much as I possibly could online, looking at the comp plan, the capital facilities plan, and all that sort of stuff. And I think it really merits taking a look at what the city's commitment was to this thing. Back in 2009, there was $1 million pledged towards it, and that was supposed to be the city's funding for the library. That was it. The rest of it was supposed to be raised by the Friends of the Ferndale Library and the community, or the Whatcom County Community Foundation. And when you look at our capital facilities plan and our comprehensive plan, that's what it says. That's what it says where the funding is going to come from. It says it's going to be the Friends of the Ferndale Library, and it's going to be the Whatcom County Group. So I'm a little bit concerned that now we're stepping out of our own plan, and we're going to go forward and ask taxpayers money for this, when, in fact, that has never been something that's been out there. The next thing I wanted to point out is, what is the real money that is being lost here? And thank you for your illustration there, but I want to point out something. When this first started, we were told it was going to be $250,000 that we were losing. That was it. You know, I went back and read the Herald articles. I went back and looked at my notes from the meetings that I had. $250,000 was it. Now we're talking about $300,000 in June, $500,000 next year, plus $500,000 match, and now all of a sudden we're up to $1.5 million. And it leaves me wondering, what is the real number? What's the number? What's at risk here? What are we actually talking about when we're talking about this? I went back and was looking at in their own press releases, the Ferndale Friends, the library Friends, said that they, this was December 6th last year, they matched $500,000 from the Community Revitalization Grant. With the community match, they raised $1 million. And they state, this brings us within $540,000 of the project goal. So many thanks go out to everyone who's worked so hard on this project. We're almost there. And I was thinking, $500,000. Wow, we can do that. What's the real number? Now we're being told, no, it's $810,000 still needed to build the library on Main Street. Now I hear we're going to lose $1.5 million. what's the number? What's the real number? What's at stake here? What is it you're asking us to do? The next thing is the cost. Now, I know a lot of people dispute this with me, so I actually went out and found a developer who was going to build a library. And I learned a lot about library buildings. One thing, I didn't know they weighed so much. But apparently they are the heaviest buildings that you can build. So there's a lot of engineering constraints that go into this. So I took our cost of building the library, ran it by him, and he agreed that those were probably perfectly good costs. But what he was surprised at was that it came out to be about $310 a square foot. Now, I'm using a lower number than what we've been told is the budget. I'm using $4.6 million. There's other numbers out there that put the budget around $5.5, but I'm giving everybody the benefit of the doubt and knocking about $1 million off the cost. That comes out to $310 a square foot. Can I shorten that? I can. I'll be right there. The most expensive home in Whatcom County currently on the market. Marble entryway, fireplace, I mean, pools, fountains, everything, is $300 a square foot. Class A office space in Seattle right now being built for $250 a square foot. And some brand new medical offices, the most infrastructure-intensive use imaginable, right now in Ferndale, brand new, $100 a square foot. The library eclipses those. That is not a good use of public money to be talking about a project that has costs like that. So you've heard me say it time and time again. There's things that I can buy for my city. There's things that I can't buy for my city. I can't buy Thornton Street repairs. I can't buy a Thornton Street overpass. I can't buy a city water system. But I can donate and help build the library. That was always the plan, that the community was going to build this library. We were not going to use taxpayer funds to do it. And I think we ought to stick to that, and I think we ought to go forward with that, and that's why I oppose it. Something I hate to do, but nonetheless, here I am. So I have these comments written out. I only made enough comments for the council.
Okay.
Can I talk about the 250 versus the – you said you were confused because you heard it was $250,000.
Mm-hmm.
We originally, last year, before this million-dollar donor came up, we knew that we had to break ground by this coming August or we'd lose the $250,000 grant. That's why you were only hearing about $250,000. And suddenly last fall, this million-dollar donor just appears. And suddenly we have $1 million in matching, and that's why we got the CERB grant, is because they knew that giving us that $500,000 was going to turn into $1 million. So that's why you're hearing these different numbers. It used to be we were only going to miss $250,000. But now, thanks to this another anonymous million-dollar donor, now it does become $1 million we're going to lose. So that's why the numbers have changed, because we had a new donor.
Well, and that's kind of my concern, is that the numbers seem to be changing, and that's one of the things that the people I've talked to about this, we want to know what is really the number. What's the number? What's the schedule? What is it we need to do by this date in order to keep this going? Because if really all we're going to miss out on is $250,000, that might be something we can live with.
No, we're not going to miss out on just $250,000.
Well,
yeah.
But then that's what I'm hearing. I never knew about the $300,000 at the end of June. I didn't know about that until about, you know, well, now 10 minutes ago. So.
Well, we found out.
Have you seen this? This spells it out beautifully.
I'll give him my copy.
Yeah.
I'll give him my
It's very clear and concise. You don't even have to be a math major to understand it.
And I
thank you. Perry? Before Perry leaves, I have a question, Ms. Jeffers. Yes, Rich.
Okay.
It's kind of to step a debate. Perry, thank you for being here. I really appreciate you being here.
I'm a fan of this council, by the way. You'll read that in the paper. I love what you guys do usually. It just torques me to have to be here doing this.
No, and it is a complicated with moving parts that move all the time. I've sat here in council meetings and I go, a council member will say something, and I go, that's not quite correct. And it's just not an easy program to follow. I went through the history of this thing, thinking I knew it. I go, no, I was wrong. You know, I was wrong on certain things. I want to ask council and Mr. Estridge, I don't know of any council action or statement where we said that we would totally rely upon private funds to build these things. I'm sure we prefer that, but I don't remember any, even in the comp plan, I don't read the comp plan that way either. Comp plan talks about, I read the statements that you read, and I spoke to Yuri about it. It talks about this is occurring, this type of fundraising occurring, but there's no definitive
direction from... Well, no, John, I will jump in there, but
I think it was kind of assumed that, you know, the fundraising, but life is about timing. Mm-hmm. And would we continue to have fundraising? I mean, there's still fundraising that may come forward. There are grants that are still out there that still may happen. Mm-hmm. But that changed when on your chart shows you we have this money now, and the problem is grants have a, you know, have a finite timeline. Okay. You know, the Curb grant and the Norcliffe, and as is the donor. We didn't know until the very last council meeting that we voted. That was the first time that we had been told it was the end of June that the one grant was ending. It's like, boy, and I guess it was. I called Maury Ingram the next day and says, Gary, that's new information. You know, and that's great. I mean, if I'm a millionaire and I have $1 million, I guess it's my choice to decide when or when it's going to happen, and obviously the donor was getting impatient. So I understand it could be construed that assume that we did all think that, oh, this money really is going to come in large chunks. But this process started, this dream started when the economy was at a point where, yeah, I mean, if you just read today, the guy that does the fireworks on Lake Union, and he's standing there going, I never imagined I'd be standing for you today and tell you that corporate donations have dried up for a fireworks show that's been going on for 27 years. But he said, hey, the economy's changed, it dried up. And so there's some factors. I understand that someone could assume that it was going to come. A lot of us did assume, boy, this is going to be easy. We're going to fundraise this whole thing. But then the timing of this.
Well, my point, Mayor, is that we never made a statement, voted on a statement, wrote down a statement that we were going to close the door on city funding. We never did that, and obviously we're not. That's all I'm saying. The other thing about cost per foot, I think Perry and staff's going to help me out with this. The higher number that you see in promotional materials on the sign out there, I think those numbers are including everything like in-kind gifts, the estimated cost of property, and things like that. I do not believe 4.65 whatever it is the per square footage cost of a building. I think everyone on here would say we didn't spend that much on the police station, I don't think. I think those are numbers reflecting donations of furniture and all sorts of stuff, so staff might be able to help with that. But those are not, because we'll take this out to bid. This will be a project, like any other project, we have to take the lowest bid. Goodness, if it comes in at $100 a foot, there's some extra money floating around. So I don't believe this is going to be a $310 a square foot building. That doesn't make any sense.
Well, I would hope not, but yeah. The numbers that are available to the public are all we have to work with.
But those aren't.
And that's what you're asking us to use. I mean, if that's not the real number, then isn't it your job to give us the real number? I mean.
Well, we got the 5.4 from the.
All I see is 5.5, 5.5, 5.5. And then Sam Taylor wrote me one day and said, no, those aren't the real costs. And so he sent me this one and said, these are the real costs. Well, that's where I got the 4.6. He said, these are the building costs. So, I mean,
but we take
so this is what the city gave me to work with. So that's all I
found. We take the project to bid, engineer the plans, the whole thing, and then we'll find out what it is.
Okay.
So.
Thank you.
Was there a question there? Did I answer whatever question it was? Okay.
Yeah, I think we did. Councilperson Ingram?
No.
Okay. Lucy, you were next. Well, we're choosing you next.
Okay.
Welcome.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Lucy Morse. I live at 2501 Mountain View Road in Ferndale. And I'm here speaking in favor of the resolution. I hope that all of you who choose to vote will vote in favor of it. I've listened to years of discussions about the library, some with rancor, some with excitement, some with a lot of misunderstandings from various parties. And I think that now really is a time for everybody to come together and go forward as a community with this. Over the weekend, last weekend, I spent the better part of 4 days, along with several other volunteers, sitting in the library. And I just want you to know, I don't know if any of you have done that. It was astounding to me. I was moved. I was amazed. I was I was enlightened. It is very simply the most diverse gathering place in our community that I have seen. I've worked in the community for years. I've done lots of different things in this community. And I mean, I've used the library for 18 years. I didn't know, I hadn't felt the impact on the community of the library before to the depth that I felt it. And I want you all to know that this is, it's an amazing place. And I know that there are lots of other considerations to think about, but I wanted you to know that I had that experience, and I wish that you all would avail yourself of a few hours and just talk to people there. I mean, I talked to hundreds of people probably. And I couldn't promote it. I was giving information and I was registering voters, just so you know that. And then today, I spent probably 4 or 5 hours talking with businesses, urging them to put up signs or a sign on a reader board or whatever. And overwhelmingly, the businesses were supportive. Some were reluctant to put up signs because they felt like they might lose some business if they did. Some were corporate businesses and they couldn't put up a sign. But overwhelmingly, the businesses support it. And the reason I believe that they're supporting it is they know it will be good for the local business community. Having a beautiful place that people go to, it will enhance the downtown businesses. Not just the downtown, I think probably all businesses in Ferndale. So, one of the things that I wanted to say to the previous speaker's comment, I think maybe the Herald did say something like $250,000 would be lost, but I don't think City Council has control over what the Herald prints. And we all know that people either mishear or don't get all of the information before them. Something goes in the paper. And I think it's really important that you support it unanimously. If people hear that, well, somebody maybe has really serious questions about this bond issue, I think that it affects how people feel about it. I think it really is just time for us to move forward as a group. So thank you. I doubt that you have any questions, but if you do, I'm happy to entertain.
How many people did you register? There were quite a few people when I saw you.
Probably, and it was really thanks to John Mutchler's laptop computer, so I don't know if I can say that. Well, anyway.
No, I'm just kidding.
Put that down in a minute.
I'm busted.
La. Sorry.
No, that's fine.
I personally didn't keep count, but I probably registered about 20.
Okay.
And the vast majority did not know about the vote and took information and had lots of questions as well. Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, my only question is, I was driving down Main Street today and honked at you in my well-marked vehicle. Did you ever get that sign?
No, I didn't.
You were losing battle trying to make that thing stay there.
I think that was almost in concrete, but I think we're going to get a sign in there.
You need a jackhammer.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, maybe a jackhammer. I don't know what we're going to use.
No,
we'll figure it out. We're going to get a sign in that place. So thanks.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
Welcome.
Thank you. Nice button.
Thank you. Good evening. My name is Marla Morrow. I live at 5595 Elder Road. I did not come prepared tonight to speak about the library resolution that's before you this evening, but I first of all want to preclude anything I say with a heartfelt, generous thank you for the ongoing support from the members of this group. Thank you. I stand before you as a proud member of the Friends of the Ferndale Library. We have worked very hard to earn thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. And so I hope that that is acknowledged by those who think that we haven't perhaps worked very hard to raise money. I think it's also important to remember that the Pioneer Pavilion was never designed or intended to be a library, despite its beautiful oak floors, the beautiful natural lighting. Yes, it has many features that are lovely, but But once again, this building is not designed or intended to be a library. Also, I'd like to make sure that everyone understands this is a public library. And by public, that means for everybody, all of us here. I've heard some polarities expressed, and I think those polarities need to be obliterated because we need to come together. It's our city. It's our library. It's a source of great pride in education and community. And I thank you once again for your ongoing support.
Thank you. Anyone else in the audience? Welcome, welcome.
My name is Wendy McLeod. I live in 1965 Somerset Street in Ferndale. And I just wanted to make an added note because I know that there's, of course, a lot of people in Ferndale who support and love their library, but we certainly have a lot of people outside the Ferndale city limits that love our library a great deal. I, like Lucy, helped try to get people last minute registered for the vote. And one particular lady came to me and was talking and about how much she loved our library, even though she wasn't a Ferndale resident. She lived in Bellingham. And wanted to, because she saw the information there as well about our building project and knew that we were getting very close, she heard about it in the news, wanted to write a check because of how much she used the library and how much she valued it as an independent teacher. And I went about to go find her a receipt for what I thought was her $20 check or whatever, and she proceeds to give me a check for $5,000. That's how much she values and cared about this library as a resource for her as a teacher and as a member of the extended community that we service. And she's not the only person. I don't know that there's many others that get that much money, but we do have a lot of support from people outside of our just Ferndale city limits that value and use that library very extensively. And it's a big part of their lives, both for work and for pleasure and for family. And so I just want to make sure that that's understood as well, that it services Ferndale, certainly, but it services a huge amount of people who value it very much as well. Outside.
Thank you, Wendy.
That donation doubled because of the matching grant,
yeah,
so it became $10,000.
Great idea. Any more? Anyone else would like to address? Please come forward. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you. I'm Paul Engelsberg, 2501 Mountain View Road. Just outside of the city limits, but a library user like a lot of people who aren't in the city. I just was moved to just say something really to follow up with what the mayor's comment, that it's all about timing. I myself, some time ago, directed a program that got federal government grant money. I also did a program at Western that got state money, got private money, and I actually did write a grant that got Norcliffe Foundation money just by coincidence. Same foundation that has offered money, provided money for the library here. And what Gary said, it really is about timing. Grants, there are opportunities, and I know everyone in the council is very aware of this, that you have these opportunities and you have to decide whether to seize them or not. It might not be there, and ideally it might be great to tell all these donors and foundations, give us another couple of years because we need that to raise more money. And that would be great if you didn't have to go to voters at all. But that's not reality. That, you know, as Gary said, it's all about timing. And anyone who goes out looking for soft money, government money, private donors, foundations, it's always the same story. You have to sort of juggle the timing and figure out how to do it. So, you know, I think voters are not necessarily going to understand that. And I think that's why this resolution is important. What voters are more likely to understand is the people who are making decisions, who they trust with their vote, are saying, yeah, this is something that we really support. It's for the benefit of the city. We've done everything we could to raise money. We've got state money, we've got private money, we've got foundation money, and just to seal the deal, we need $11 a year on the average from people with a $250,000. You know, they need to have that explained. They're not going to read a 100-page, you know, history that John Mutchler might put together of how this whole thing came together. But if the council unanimously says, or unanimously with one abstention says, yeah, this is what we need to get this, the $4 million or whatever has been pledged, I think they need to hear that, because it really is hard for most people to understand how all this grant stuff works. Mm-hmm. It's not easy. It doesn't make sense. And, you know, as Lucy was saying, the Herald will say one thing, and the reality is something else. It's really easy to get confused. So that's why I think this resolution is really important, just to get out there and say, yeah, this, we've analyzed this. This is a great solution.
Well,
thank
said.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Excellent.
Anyone else in the audience like to come forward? Okay, Council. Action. First stand up was Councilperson Goodridge. Second was Councilperson Mutchler.
I just want to say, after the last council meeting when we talked about the police, excess police thing, I got railroaded by some folks saying that I was not pro-library, that I was anti-library. And I just like to make it clear, I am very much in support of the library. I wish we as a city were in the financial situation that we could just say, yeah, we'll give another $500,000 to the library and put it over the top. The problem is we're not in that situation. And looking at the leftover police, I have, as a council member and as a library supporter, but I got to look at the whole overall city, and not just the library project, but all of the citizens of Ferndale. And that's why I did the motion and the thought of taking the and not using the remaining of the police library fund project for the library, because we have other projects in the city that citizens of the city need addressed. But I am a supporter of the library. I do support this resolution, and I am a supporter for the vote, the yes vote of the citizens. I just want to make that clear that I'm not anti-library, that I do care about you. I do appreciate what the Friends of the Library have done through their book sales and other things, the money you guys have raised. That just blew me away when I've heard how much money that they have raised for this project. But I just wanted to make that statement publicly.
Councilperson Mutchler?
I agree with you, Brent. That was a tough vote, but I think it was the correct vote, a principal vote, and I agree we do support the library. And I'd like to make the motion to accept the staff's version of the resolution. I'll just read the last part. The Ferndale, that we would pass a resolution that says the Ferndale City Council supports Ferndale ballot Prop 1 and urges a yes vote by the voters of the city to support the construction of the new Ferndale Public Library. If there is a second, I'd like to speak for the motion.
Second.
Oh. Okay, moving second.
I just want to and put this in the record as well, Marcy, the document that I provided, just to remind us of the money that is on the line. I believe these are accurate numbers. I spoke to Greg about this. There are a lot of numbers out there, and I believe these are pretty doggone close, is that we potentially could lose these monies if this does not pass. The first is the Norcliffe grant, which has already given us a year extension. We have to start building by August. That's $250,000. Second, there is a donor. The donor has offered to match up to $1 million through various gifts and grant. A grant that's up to $710,000. There's $290,000 on the table. That is, if it's not matched, that will go away on June 30th. The state CRB grant, Community Economic Revitalization Board grant, has been already provided for us to do the library. That's $500,000 that is returned or not used if we're not building within a year. And that was matched by the donor. That's counted in that, what, $710,000 match. And so that $500,000 disappears. That comes up to about $101.5 million. Therefore, I conclude that if Prop 1 passes, asking the voters to spend $11 a year, bringing in $550,000 that we can borrow, that really guarantees us all total $2 million to finish the library, all said and done. So that's why, sometimes principals and politics can get ahead of practical issues and timely issues, and that's why I urge support of this.
Councilperson Ingram?
Well, I have been somewhat quiet this evening, so now it's my turn. I'm going to take a slightly different tact at this. We have spent the better part of 6 years, five and a half of which I've been on this council, working through this library issue. If this vote goes down, we stand to lose a whole lot more than this paltry little $1.5 million. We likely will lose all the money over the last 5.5 years that the city has put into this project. All the land that we have purchased, all the plans that we have paid for to be drawn up, all the design drawings that we paid for to be designed. Because if this vote goes down, this project could well be dead in the water forever. We can't afford that. We can't afford to not let the citizens know. It's not just the donors' money. It's not just the fundraised money. It's the money that the city has already spent. And I don't have those figures because I don't, frankly, have time to sit around on a computer all day and research. I've got other fish to fry. But the fact is we've spent a lot of money. And if we don't pass this bond, that money's gone for naught. And I can't in good conscience sit there and tell the taxpayers, yeah, well, you know, we threw away your money, but it's okay. We're good guys anyway. So I can't urge this vote to pass strongly enough. That's the tack. That's the angle that I come at it from.
Well said. Further comments by council? Okay, time for vote. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed? And one abstention? Okay, the motion passes 5-0. Great job, council. We'll move to mayor's report. I have some bad news for tonight. I'm staring at a letter from the Department of Colleges and Department of Fisheries. Apparently, obviously, we know that there are a problem with salmon passage in the Nooksack. And at times, the temperature of the Nooksack River is too hot. So we have a year from today's date to establish improvements to our Nooksack Bridge. We have to do curtains on both sides, and the curtains lower down and shade that area. And then to get the salmon to stay in there in the shade, we have to pipe in music. This has to be installed by this date next year. So
April 1st next year.
We'll be changing the budget.
Next year, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Why are you people laughing about this?
It's the salmon. This is very
whale
serious.
Sound?
You had them running until the music. The music.
The whale calls.
Gosh. This is serious.
You had them right up until the music.
You just said bait.
Thank you, folks. They'll be here all week. Keep your waiters.
Bada bing. Okay, so on other announcements, Wednesday at 6 p.m., Central School. Love to see you there. Following Monday, 12 o'clock at the Senior Center. You can come. I'm sure they'll let you in.
Is it 6 o'clock, Gary?
6 p.m. at Central School.
Yeah, I'll have to leave early, but I'll be there.
Okay, thank you. And then I have a quick one on the Parks Board that I got this afternoon. I didn't even get a chance to copy it for you. Jeanette Clark, 6094 Sunshine Drive. She's the office administrator clerk at the Mount Baker Boy Scouts. So great addition to our Parks Board. Lives here in Ferndale. Is recommended by Rob Nordhaus and Peter Self. Interest in Park Board. Entertain a motion to accept her on the Park Board.
So moved.
All in favor? Signify saying aye.
Aye.
Okay, good. Somebody second.
Throw a second.
And then a great thing this last Saturday is there's a bikers-only church that operates out of the North Bellingham Grange at the corner of Smith Road and Northwest.
In the wind.
Food drive for a food bank. They invited me along. It was a great situation. I attended their service, and over 300 pounds for the Ferndale Food Bank. Plus, they basically guaranteed on that date to double it for next year. And they said, look, every time for Easter, we will do this food drive at the Ferndale Food Bank. They didn't even know that Ferndale had a food bank.
And so they came, they worked in the facility for a while and saw our needs, saw we're out of tuna, brought in three
always
cases
out of tuna.
So just a great example of maybe people look at people in leathers and act weird and they're not all weird. So, great thing. So that's it for mayor reports. Council reports. Councilperson Goodrich is first.
I have a question that maybe somebody can help me with an issue. I have some American flags that are to be retired.
American Legion.
American Legion will take those.
We dispose of them properly.
Okay.
And the Kiwanis.
You can just bring them to me.
The Boy Scout troop at the Kiwanis.
Is that 26?
Our Boy Scout troop will also do that. So you can give it to either one of us, and we could take it to a Kiwanis meeting, too,
okay.
Whatever works for you.
All right, thank you.
Good job. Councilperson Ingram?
Just something to throw out to the council and the staff to kind of think about a little bit. What would you feel like if there was a movement kind of quietly afoot a few years ago at council to eliminate work sessions except for budget workshops? And just make that work session a line item on the agenda. Because we go through it twice. We do a workshop, then you go into regular session, you do it all over again. And it seems to be kind of, I don't know if that movement is still alive or not. I have no idea.
Well, we've done a great job of not having as many work sessions.
Yeah.
Just there's some subjects where people need a lot
of time. But my real question is this, and I checked with Greg before the meeting, and he says it's totally legal. So when we know that we're going to have an executive session, could we have an executive session at 5 o'clock and then roll into the regular meeting and you'd be ready to vote on whatever it was if a vote was necessary that comes out of executive session instead of postponing the executive session like we are tonight until 7:45 and getting out of here later? We could do that. Most executive sessions last between 20 minutes and 40 minutes, so if we could do an executive session prior to a regular council meeting, I think it would save us some time.
As long as we publicized it, that's what we were doing.
Yeah, because we have to have this room where people show up early. Yeah, I guess we could. I would consider it.
Okay. Just a thought.
Okay. Any other council reports? Councilperson Hansen?
It's not me involved, but this coming Saturday, the tree board is going to plant 7 or 8 trees down in Pioneer Park. It's probably the last tree planting in Pioneer. There will be additional trees in other parks in the communities, but for a while they're going to let Pioneer Park rest. So if you want to get yourself dirty and enjoy digging in the dirt, come on down, 9 o'clock.
I'll be at a conference on water rights, so...
And how to pipe music.
Salmon
fish,
music.
Right?
Yes.
The Grateful Dead.
You guys were making jokes for that. Councilperson Mutchler.
Yeah, I don't bring too many reports from the Ferndale Downtown Association, but I wanted to let you know that you would be invited to the quarterly meeting of the Ferndale Downtown Association. Our Todd Anderson from across the street there is going to talk about graffiti, but the mayor and Sarah Cole are going to talk about the bond issue. I guess it's this month we're going to vote on something on April 23rd. So that's the 18th of April. That's at noon at Babe's Restaurant upstairs. You're invited to attend.
Great. Okay. Department reports. Finance director.
Nothing.
City administrator.
Nothing.
Planning.
Yes. April 20th, that's Earth Day. We're having the Primrose Trail, looking for volunteers, material donations as well. Permits are way up this year. They were up last year, but they're up again this year. Want to say thank you to the Ferndale Record if you haven't seen this.
That was cool.
That's really
very cool.
Nice article on what you, council, have done over the last few years to encourage development. That's all I have.
I'm sure every developer has gotten a copy of that paper. You should have bought extra to have them hand it out.
Well, actually, we talked about doing just that.
Yeah. Okay. Public Works?
Nothing.
Clerk?
Nothing.
Police left with the big tall guy, so is yes okay?
How do they fit in our cars? You know, there seems like there's going to be a point where the officer in
lower
the
seats.
Car won't...
Another example why the Chevy Lumina was a bad police car choice for the city of Ferndale. Okay, so we are going to have an executive session. We will enter an executive session pursuant to RCW 42.30
110 subsection B and G regarding real estate. We estimate the session will last approximately 1 hour. Then we will reconvene in public session to close the meeting.
This is your laugh.
I'll drive you home.
You're here.
Move to adjourn.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned.